to head on over to City Kids in the back. In the AC. Thank you to our City Kids crew holding it down, playing with toys, rolling on mats, teaching fun lessons. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Kristen already said it, but I'll say it again. Happy Father's Day. I was just thinking about this kind of yesterday, but, Parker was our first and made me a dad. On June 23rd, 2011. Parker's turning 15 in 2 days. Woo! That means I've been parenting every single day for the last 15 years. Every day. And Carrie's been being a mom every day. And her job, I will acknowledge, her role in that whole process was much more significant than mine. So she deserves more credit than me. But it was still significant for me to think about, you know. There's not, I mean, other than eating, breathing, sleeping, there's not many things that we do every single day, right? When you think about roles that we have, relationships that we maintain, things that we learn and grow at, it's a good reminder that, man, practice doesn't make perfect, right? As much as they say. Practice doesn't make perfect. You can do the same thing a lot, and it doesn't mean you get amazing at it unless you're really evaluating how you're doing it and you're intentionally making that effort to say, okay, how did that go? How did I do in that moment? What can I do differently next time, right? That's a key part of that process. But, man, grateful for dads. And just like Mother's Day, I know Father's Day is one of those days that is an opportunity for a lot of reflection and thought. We think about our own fathers and dads and how we were parented and for better or for worse, what that looked like or how we weren't, depending on how present a father was in your life or what kind of father figures you may have had, but hopefully all of us can look back and think about and remember men who we can look to and remember what a significant difference their presence, their actions, their way of being, their way of life, how it affected us. And for those of us who are dads, again, whether that impact, whether that influence was mostly positive, or even for some, you may look back on a figure or people in your life and say, man, yeah, their impact on me was probably mostly negative. That may be the experience of some people in the room. But there are ways that even that you can think about how you can be different and how you can take what you have experienced and choose to make a different impact on the people that God has entrusted to your care. So that is a really significant opportunity that all of us have. Today is an interesting day. As I sat down and really thought through, and I have a whole list of things and topics and ideas that I want to cover in this particular series of what it means to be a Christian. And as I sat with this week, I have kind of a thing that's next on my list. And I just kept kind of going back to what I talked about last week and feeling like I kind of need, or we kind of need to just sit with that a little bit longer maybe, or not just rush away from that. So there's something that I want to read and share briefly from Matthew chapter 3, and I don't have any verses on the screen for this or anything like that. We can keep that, keeping that up is fine. And we're going to go back through and really use this time this morning for some collective reflection. We did a little piece of it last week, but I thought, you know, we're going to spend a good chunk of our time here this morning just in thoughtful reflection and prayer. And anyone who's willing, I may even open up to just have some group feedback and comments if there's things that you would just feel led to share that would benefit the group here. But I wanted to read this passage. This is something that, since the last time, as we were reading through the Gospels, and we came through Matthew the last time, this is something that some of you have already heard, because I think I've talked about it with a few people, because it was a kind of significant moment or realization for me as we read through the Gospels the last time, which would have been, I guess, in the spring. It might have been in the fall. But we come to this moment in the very beginning, really before Jesus begins his public ministry, in Matthew chapter 3, and we see Jesus coming, and he has this encounter with John the Baptist, and he's baptized by John in the Jordan River. And Jesus comes up out of the water, and we see the Spirit descending, and we hear this voice from heaven. John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" The voice of the Father declaring his love, his pleasure, his acceptance of Jesus in this moment, publicly, right? Who knows what people were thinking or realizing, or did everybody hear this? Was it just the disciples? Like, we don't have all of the details of what this was like. But it struck me the last time I read this, how significant this is, that we see the Father declaring his divine, perfect, beyond anything we can even comprehend, love of his Son, Jesus. And that this happens before Jesus ever does a single thing. Before Jesus accomplishes anything, before Jesus begins any of his public ministry, before Jesus completes the work that he set out to do, before we see Jesus doing any of the hard stuff, he begins his ministry and takes every single step of it out of this reality of the Father's perfect love for him. And I think that's something that we need to, like, get up here and in here as much as possible as we think about our life and what we're trying to do or accomplish or all of the things or the motivations we try to put behind it. And for fathers, and obviously this applies to everybody. But man, as we carry out our role as husbands, dads, men, trying to live our lives and fulfill what God has given us to do in day-to-day life and ministry and work and vocation and just all of the little things that happen on a day-to-day basis. If we can lean into and learn more and more that, man, every day we wake up and we step into our day with a relationship with our Father who says, you're my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased in you. And through our union with Christ, what is true of Christ is true of us, right? When the Father looks at us, he sees the finished, accomplished work of Jesus, his perfection, his holiness, his righteousness, and we become recipients of that love through our union and relationship with Christ. The Father looks at us, and we are his beloved children. Before we do a single thing, before we accomplish anything, before we strive or make every effort and all of the things, and that doesn't mean we slack off. It doesn't mean what we do doesn't matter, right? You guys know it's both and. But anything and everything we do is out of an overflow of living within and out of the security of the Father's love for us. And that means one of the, maybe the only thing we actually have to do as parents and as adults and for our kids, you know, in our minds, especially as dads, right, and men, there's this, I don't know if it's actually hardwired or if it's just a cultural thing, you know, maybe there's some DNA, you know, hormone thing that says, like, you know, we want to be strong and we want to provide, and so we fill in the blanks of a lot of those things on what we think it means to, like, provide a good life for our kids or our families. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of research going into this right now. I don't know, is anyone familiar or has anyone heard anything about the Human Flourishing Project that's being, okay, no, maybe something to look up. It's very interesting if you care about human flourishing, you know, who doesn't? But it's mainly based out of Harvard University. And this is something they've been working on in partnership with a lot of other schools and research institutions globally, including Christian universities and organizations, basically asking the question, what does it mean? What is human flourishing? What are the characteristics of what it means to, like, have a good, meaningful life, you know? And faith and spirituality is a significant part of that. They are just scientifically realizing, you know, it's not that that's a new thing. But they even recently just did a study in partnership with, and the name of the organization is, it's not Compassion, but it's one of those global humanitarian Christian organizations that works with children in a very significant way. And they did studies and questionnaires with children in countries all over the world, some of which, I mean, there are kids in this world that are living through circumstances and challenges and wars and famines and poverty that we just cannot even imagine, right? And so they're doing studies on, okay, how do children experience God's love? This is like Harvard University doing this kind of study with other organizations. And what they basically concluded, and maybe this is not even a surprise, but doing research sometimes is kind of like, all right, we did it, we found it a really official way to essentially confirm something that maybe is already kind of like a duh answer, you know? But they said children experience God's love through the presence of a loving parent. who's just there. And it literally, practically doesn't even matter what else is going on around them. Like, it doesn't matter how hard their circumstances are or their situation is or how much money they have or how many material things they have. Like, if they have a loving parent who offers a secure, safe relationship with them, like, they can get through anything. And so there's a lot of things in that whole study and that whole thought process that's really sad and discouraging. But that element and that foundational idea that, man, all of the things in our like first world American culture that we might think we like have to provide for our kids, or the kind of life we need to offer them, or the kinds of things we need to do, or the activities they need to be enrolled in. Like, all of those things are just like confetti, you know? It's just like little things. If there's anything we invest in, if there's any impact that we're gonna make in the lives of our kids, or really anybody, it's being present, telling them you love them, apologizing when you don't do that very well, right? There's going to be ruptures and moments of frustration and impatience and all of those things. It's taking the opportunities to repair in those moments and say, oh man, I messed up, I'm sorry, I love you. Like the Father did for Jesus in this moment, letting him live and serve and minister out of the security of his love, that's really all we have to do. And that alone, if we do nothing else, that's a win. And we see it. We see it between the Father and Jesus. And everything that we're talking about here, we're talking about these ideas of, if we could maybe just pull up that triangle again. Maybe even just the simple blank one. Yeah, that's perfect. We're talking about daily trials. What does it mean to step into and live in more and more awareness within the reality of our new life in Christ? And we've been talking about what it looks like, how we engage with a new perspective on our day-to-day ups and downs, new power through our interaction and engagement with the Spirit, and new practices, spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, but not even just the quote-unquote spiritual things we do. All of our habits and practices and the things we do on a day-to-day basis, realizing that everything we do has some role in forming and shaping and molding us into the people that we're becoming. And so we've been talking about all of these things. And last week, I gave us a little bit of time to do some thinking about the faithful acceptance piece and the daily trials. But I want for us today to, I want to do that again. And then we're also going to do it with the two other areas. And now I handed something out last week, and I didn't print it out again. So if you were here last week, you may still have the little handout that I passed out. And if you weren't here last week, we're going to put the text of it on the screen in a moment. But I kind of sent you away saying, hey, do this week. So I don't know if anybody did or if you didn't, but I know human nature normally means it's like, oh yeah, sometimes I'll think like, I'm going to do that. And then usually I may not. So even if you went home this last week and you spent some serious time reflecting through those questions on life and practicing the presence of God and habits and spiritual disciplines. We're going to do it again right now and use this as a time for reflection and prayer and self-evaluation. And I'll also give us some opportunity to kind of share anything that stood out as meaningful to you. But let's pull up, so Andrew, it'll be like those last three things on there. Yeah, so on this first one, this is the text that was on that sheet that I handed out last week. And I want to give us just a few minutes to spend some time reflecting on this individually. And if you want, you can go ahead and read those passages. You don't have to. They may supplement kind of that reflection and thought. They're all passages that we've read recently, so you may already be familiar with a lot of what's in there, but consider the daily trials that test your patience and endurance. And how does your life in Christ influence your perspective on these things? Thinking even just about the past week, what was that thing or those things that just, man, that you thought, my life would just be so much better if I didn't have to deal with this. And how might the Spirit be using these trials to form or mature you in your current season of life? And we could even add there, how might that thing, I can't remember the exact phrase, I mean, different people say this, but Tim Keller has a way of saying this, not my Keller. Keller has a way of saying, he has a way of saying a lot of stuff, by the way. Yeah, we need to like start a book of the things that he says, but the things that really frustrate us usually are a clue to where there's some heart idolatry as well. If there is something in my life that is really just frustrating me and triggering some anger or disappointment for me, those are kinds of emotions and things where, again, not all disappointment means you are just in the throes of idolatry, right? But it can mean that. And so we have to kind of take it, observe it. Okay, I'm feeling some frustration, disappointment, anger about something that's happening right now. It could be that I am looking to something for happiness, security, fulfillment, satisfaction, that from a source where I should not be, right? So that's in the mix here as well. I'm going to give us a few minutes to just sit with that before we move on to the next one. And this is for the young ones with us too. If you're, you know, one of the older kids, you do this too. You have life things that are frustrating and things that pop up that are unexpected, or so you do this too. Think about what are these things for you? And this is for you just like everybody else. Okay, so as you think about a question like this or questions, what are the things that pop up for you, if anyone's willing to share? And chances are, there's a lot of common ground here, right? There's a lot of Now, if the answer is like your spouse, you know, maybe like let's talk, like just in private, right? Let's do that. But so don't throw anybody under the bus, you know, if they're in the room, but yeah. Oh yeah. If you're willing to share, no pressure. Yeah. How do you feel like on that last part, how is the Spirit using that to form you? What do you think that's doing in your soul in those moments, or even just the process of thinking about? Yeah, it sounds like part of what that's doing in you is what I hear from you is actually like a little bit of compassion for them in a way. Like it's hard and it's heartbreaking what you're hearing from them, but you're also seeing them and realizing there's something that they're missing. And you're able to see them with compassion and understanding that, man, there's a piece of humanity that comes from understanding what it means to be made in the image of God, and they don't have that foundation, right, of what it means to honor. But they can get, that's what I hear in you. I hear compassion, I hear hopefulness, and even an awareness that you have an opportunity to be a light in that environment. Yeah. That's tough. So we could keep talking about all of those things for all morning. I want to move on to this next one, though. I'm talking about practicing the presence of God. And this is where I struggle. I want to talk about the presence of God and things that I'm reading right now about the presence of God. And it takes every muscle in my body not to just tell you all the things I'm reading right now about this theme and how it traces through scripture and the significance of it. And I'll probably have another sermon on it, but let's do this. Think about the past week. And now this is funny because I kind of threw out this question last week. We talked about it very briefly. I talked about it very briefly. And even I found myself, this week, I was the one who like gave this assignment and said it. And I found myself, now I don't know how many of you, how this lands on you, because it's different, right? But I found myself a couple times in the week being like, oh man, yeah, I haven't thought about this at all yet, you know? And it takes real mental intentionality and practice and habit. And this is a process, you know, about developing a greater awareness of God's presence in our life. How often were you intentionally and actively aware of the Spirit's presence and empowerment in daily life, in those frustrating moments, but even maybe not even in those frustrating moments? What hinders or distracts you from walking in the Spirit, and how can you practice the presence of God this week? So obviously there's a lot of overlap and connection between the first area and this area, but let's take a few minutes. I'll give us 2 minutes on this one. So again, even this, not enough time, but it's more time than last week, maybe 3. I'll give us till 10:50 on this one. Let's reflect on this. Let's see what pops up. Okay, what comes to mind and heart with this one? Yes. Yes. Yep. But very cool that you can look to and say and see that there are moments where you can say, okay, I have done this. You do have a pathway that you have trod of practicing that awareness and that presence and that empowerment. And would you say you've tapped into that more frequently in the last year than in previous years? Or more frequently, you know, than in the past? Yes. Yes. And that is progress. And that is good news. Because that awareness is the most essential thing. Because without that awareness, you can't respond to it. You can't take that next step intentionally without that awareness. So even just that is huge. good. I feel like every parent can relate to that in every way, right? But yes, Olivia. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I feel that. We had a moment in the car even this morning, right, guys, on the way to church. It was like, you know, the people who don't turn right on red. It's like, where are you? Like, it's Sunday morning. There's nobody coming, you know? The boys, they hear me talk to other drivers all the time. And usually it's in kind of like a comedic, funny, like, can you believe that? But we actually said, I was like, this was a moment. I was like, Jesus is just still working patience out in me, right? This is the moment. And we like connected it to what we're talking about, you know? But yes. Yes, I feel that. Yes, Annette. But it's in those moments. Again, I think I mentioned this last week. I think often when we think about God's presence, we think about like the perfect environment and about finding an escape, a place where we don't have any distractions, a place where we don't have anything interrupting us, a place where we don't have to deal with other people's stuff or anything. And we think, man, for me to be in God's presence, I need to like really carve out time and space. And there is a place for that. There is a place for time and space, and that can be meaningful, and it is. And that is a spiritual practice, right? Spiritual discipline of solitude, and we will and have, and we'll continue to talk about all of that. But that's not most of life, right? And if we can only experience God's presence when we have the perfect time and space for it, then we're in big trouble. But if we can practice more and more developing that awareness and practice of the presence and empowerment that we have access to through the indwelling Spirit of God in those moments, in just the everyday stuff of life, that is a game changer. That awareness, that practice of willingness versus willfulness. Talk about that white knuckling, right? Versus releasing and accepting and embracing and stepping through, not trying to avoid, just changes everything. And we'll keep talking about that as well. That's one of the things on my list. That's one of the next things close on my list is a whole talk on that. Really doing a deep dive on that willingness versus willfulness. It sounds like that's going to be a good one, an appropriate one for a lot of us. For me, I need it. So again, here we are, and it's kind of normally a time I try to stop. And I didn't even get through all of the three. We didn't even spend time on all three. But let's just even just read this one. Maybe we need to do this again next week. I don't know. Probably not. But thinking about practices, habits that form us, and thinking about what practices are currently forming you into the likeness of Jesus. And again, I say this all the time, there's so many ways we could encapsulate what that looks like. If you're memorizing the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, or if you have locked in the fruit of the Spirit, talking about practicing the presence of God when I'm walking in the Spirit and the Spirit is just filling me and flowing out of me, what is the fruit that comes out of that? What are the practices that come out of that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, that could be translated, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things touch on the different things that we talked about, you know, right? which of our habits and practices, we could even fill in the blank here of like reactions. Practicing awareness of our reactions to those things that prick at us, that poke us on a given day. What is it that's coming out? And asking, feeling guilty or ashamed because of what comes out, but using that as an opportunity to observe, okay, just what is there? And exploring that. Where is that coming from? Lord, what are you doing in this? What are you showing me? And how are you taking me from here, right? How are you leading me to respond differently? How am I not responding out of the security of your love in this moment, right? And ultimately, we're working on getting, like, that's our return point. As we observe these reactions and these responses and what is coming out of us, ultimately, when we really boil it down, it comes down to, okay, there is some point where I have deviated from operating out of the security and satisfaction and meaning of God's perfect love for me. I've created, there's a gap somewhere between where I am and where the love of God is for me, and it's there for me. All I have to do is step into it and work out of that foundation. Easier said than done, but that's where it all begins. And that may involve there are things that I am actually doing, practicing, that are putting me in places, that are putting me in positions, that are keeping me from that awareness or practice of that presence, that empowerment, that awareness of God's love for me. And there are habits, there are practices that I can put on that orient my heart and soul in such a way that that does become front and center, that that does become the thing that I'm putting in front of me, that that does become the operative principle of my life, the operative foundation of my life that I'm operating out of. And so what are the habits, what are the practices that I can be intentionally putting myself into that are tuning my heart and mind to that frequency? That's not everything, but that's part of it. It's part of the triangle, okay? So I'm not going to give us time to think about that one. Take that one now. Now we only have one more one to think about this week, but keep sitting in all of these things. You are God's beloved children in whom he is well pleased. And the last passage I was just going to read again, I think John talked about it in his passage on the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit from John 14 through John 16. And right in the middle, we see Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit in chapter 14. Again, Jesus wasn't speaking in chapters, right? This is an address to his disciples. And we see him coming back to the Spirit in John 16. But right there in John chapter 15, we see this incredible passage where we see him saying, abide in me, abide in my word, abide in my teachings. And then he says in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. How do we abide and practice that love? It's through practicing the presence and empowerment of the Spirit in our lives. That the Holy Spirit is the one who, we used the word last week, mediates and enables us and empowers us to experience and abide in that love of Christ, which mediates to us the love of the Father. And we see this, the unity of the Trinity and the functions and how it all gets to us. And that could be a whole fun theology lesson, right? But this is an experiential lived reality that we get to practice and grow in more and more and more the life we have in Christ. Abide in my love. So I hope we can go into our week with that on our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you again this morning, and we're just grateful for the opportunity to remember together your great love for us, the love of a father, the security and provision that we have from you. Let us be people and, of course, fathers, but mothers, caretakers, whatever role you've put us in this week, would you just give us a new, fresh, and abundant awareness of all that we have that we get to tap into, Lord, living in your presence, indwelt by your Spirit. Teach us to just keep tapping into that in the daily moments, in the daily frustrations, the things that squeeze and prod us. Would you just give us a growing awareness of an ability to notice those things, notice what happens in ourselves, but ultimately to look and see you, to behold you in those moments, not just to look for an escape or a way out or a way to avoid or control, but a way to see you in those moments, looking back at us in love as you lead us through them. We entrust ourselves to you for the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.